motherfucking Queensbury, baby. You want to talk about it? You can go 2 rounds. Well, guess what? This old boy's been working on this motherfucking cardio. I don't give a fuck who you are. Because I'm goddamn hillbilly power, baby. Hillbilly fucking power. I ain't never going to knock this goddamn strong head out. I don't give a fuck you from Huntington, Ohio, goddamn Kentucky, anywhere. Come get these fucking hands. I got Red Hawk in me, Cherokee Indian in me, and Stamaris, baby. Hillbilly fucking power. Whoa! I am the real fucking mountain man. And the motherfucking hillbilly. Whoa! Let's come get the redneck brawl. Come get it, baby. Come fucking get it.
I'm about to get on their ass this time. I'm about to get on their rump. The police could kill a man on camera and get qualified immunity. And I'm tired of beefing with my own kind. I'm trying to find some unity. Tired of the foolery. The system abusing me. I gotta ride with the tool of me. This shit ain't cool to me. But I'd be damned if I let you niggas make a fool of me. So I keep two on me. I done came a long way from the block with breakdowns. Finally opened my eyes when I had my daughter. Got tired of them shakedowns. The way I survived the game is still pain in my heart. I got a lot to say now. And I'ma show my whole ass on these motherfuckers. I ain't about to play around. Whatever happened to freedom of speech? Cause they telling niggas what to say now. When guilty ass don't wanna hear the truth, try to act offended, shit pitiful. If I was you, I'd be miserable. This war we fighting is spiritual. In other words, I'm doing God's work. When I turn thoughts into artwork, my words fly like darts work, specifically designed to hit the target. They don't even wanna teach history the way it's meant to be, because the shit is heartless. I might not change the world, but it's a chance I can spark the brain that's gonna get it started. Many die for me to walk like this, for me to talk like this. Rest in peace to Marcus. Got my eyes behind the scope, and I ain't taking none but headshots. I got great aim, but my 4-5 still came with a red dot. I got in this game, and I put this bitch in a headlock.
According to U.S. intelligence, Iran is set to respond to the Israeli attack on its consulate in Syria in one of four ways. Let's go through them. Scenario number one, no response. There are reports, unconfirmed, but they are saying that Iran has requested the Israelis that if they completely withdraw from Gaza and agree to a ceasefire deal, they said they will not attack Israel or any one of its assets abroad. Scenario number two is Iran will strengthen its nuclear arsenal. There are reports that are saying that Iran might cut a deal with the US in the background, that it will have more enriched uranium for its nuclear program, and the United States will look the other way. Scenario number three is the Iranians will hit one of Israeli embassies around the world. And part of that scenario also takes into account a direct attack in mainland Israel, which has spooked their nation a lot, and the government has ordered them to start stockpiling food, generators, and other things needed for an emergency. And scenario number four, which is looking more and more likely unless the Americans can stop the Israelis, is that Hezbollah will go and launch an all-out attack in the north. And ever since October 7, the Israelis actually have had no response to Hezbollah's attack. As you can see here, 60,000 Israelis were forced to displace from northern Lebanon, where they were planning on taking more and more land, but Hezbollah drew them back inside the settlement, and the Israeli government has said that they will not be going to resettle the areas that Hezbollah has won back, so much so that they've been asked to look for their own housing that's not in Lebanon, as they're currently being housed in hotels by the Israeli government. Here is why the IDF made the shocking announcement that they're all pulling back from Gaza. And no, John Kirby, it's not because the IDF are tired. This is because the IDF are regrouping back in Israel, waiting for an imminent attack from Iran. This is because several unconfirmed reports are flying all over the Middle East, especially in Iranian TV channels, saying that the Iranians have let the United States know through Oman, because the US and Iran doesn't have diplomatic channels, that Iran will strike mainland Israel if they don't, the IDF immediately withdraw all their troops from Gaza and come to the table to talk about an immediate ceasefire and hostage exchange currently going on in Cairo. And the Israelis are shitting themselves with closing a lot of their embassies around the world. And they're also not getting a lot of support from the United States because the US is really angry at Israel because they struck the Iranian consulate in Syria without the United States approval. And when the Iranians sent a message to the United States that they will hit Israel, they also let the United States know that they will not hit any of the United States assets. And the Israeli government have asked their citizens to start stockpiling food and generators and other necessary things in case of an all-out Iranian attack. There is 100% something cooking in the background because the Israelis withdrawing completely from Gaza without getting any of their hostages back is a huge win for Hamas. And the United States being very quiet when it comes to their criticism of Iran is... If you kill international aid workers, you get rewarded with chocolates in Israel. The IDF officer who is responsible for killing the 7 aid workers for World Central Kitchen has been awarded with a box of chocolates and a nice letter by the head of the settlement this IDF officer was a part of. Yes, this is the lovely box of chocolates and letter he received from the head of the settlement for unaliving 7 aid workers. It says, although some are quick to judge when they are under the neon lights, we know that in the context of battle and with the fog of battle, mistakes are made. The importance of the political campaign is clear to us, but commanders must not pay such a high price. This is in reference to the fact that the IDF officer was dismissed. National Security Minister, Settler-in-Chief Ben-Gavir, who's basically the Marjorie Taylor Greene of Israeli politics, has also come out and denounced the fact that the IDF officer who killed the aid workers was dismissed from his position. He says that they should not be held accountable for killing the WCK staff. And Ben-Gavir has a point. Why should they be held accountable? And they should rightly be rewarded with chocolates because not only did they get an $18 billion worth of weapon shipments right after killing aid workers, the Biden administration also went out of their way to say that there will be no change in their policy when it comes to Israel. Old world is dying and the new one struggles to be born. We are in a new era where it's completely normal to attack each other's embassy as Ecuador has crossed a humongous line and raided the Mexican embassy in Ecuador. Ecuadorian police entered Mexican embassy to get this guy who is the former vice president of Ecuador who's wanted by the Ecuadorian government on corruption charges. So he was trying to get asylum in Mexico and before doing that, he basically went to the Mexican embassy which according to international law, an embassy in any country is basically considered sovereign land and you cannot go and invade on that land without calling for war against that country. So much so that when Julian Assange was seeking asylum in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, governments as powerful as the United States and the UK did not dare go and raid the Ecuadorian embassy in the UK to get one of their most wanted criminals, Julian Assange. And the only reason the Ecuadorians dared to do such a thing, which is raid the embassy of another country, is because of this. Because Israel decided to attack a consulate of Iran in Syria and basically got away with it. And if anything, got rewarded with more weapons by the United States, basically sending a signal to every other country in the world that, hey, you can also go and invade and raid embassies with no consequences. So where do we go from here? Well, it's terrifying and the ball is in Mexico's court. Basically, it all depends on how Mexico chooses to respond. The old world is dying and the new
assets and governed by transparent rules. This transparency extends beyond mere rhetoric. Zimbabwe has committed to stringent governance standards, including regular audits and public disclosure of gold reserves, to ensure the integrity of ZIG's backing. Yet, while ZIG holds immense promise, its success ultimately hinges on widespread adoption and acceptance. The Zimbabwean government must embark on a concerted effort to educate citizens about the benefits of ZIG and foster confidence in its reliability as a medium of exchange. This will require effective communication strategies and tangible measures to address underlying economic challenges and improve the business environment. We have discussed that Zimbabwe will face challenges, so what will these challenges be? As Zimbabwe embarks on its journey towards implementing Zimbabwe Gold ZIG, it faces many challenges and uncertainties. The practicalities of transitioning to a gold-backed currency raise questions about exchange rate determination, reserve management, and safeguards against past pitfalls. Navigating this transition requires careful planning, effective governance, and a commitment to transparency. One of the primary concerns surrounding the introduction of ZIG is how the exchange rate will be determined in a global economic landscape characterized by volatility and uncertainty. Unlike fiat currencies, whose values are often subject to manipulation by central banks, ZIG's value will be anchored to the price of gold in international markets. This presents both opportunities and challenges, as the value of gold can fluctuate in response to a myriad of factors, such as geopolitical tensions, economic indicators, and investor sentiment. Therefore, Zimbabwe's central bank must adopt a flexible and adaptive approach to exchange rate management, considering market dynamics and adjusting policies accordingly to ensure stability and competitiveness in the global marketplace. Another key consideration is how the central bank will manage the delicate balance between gold reserves and foreign currencies to maintain stability. While gold provides a solid anchor for ZIG's value, it is essential to maintain a diversified portfolio of reserves to mitigate risks and ensure liquidity. This requires effective risk management strategies, prudent investment practices, and regular monitoring of reserve levels to prevent imbalances that could undermine confidence in the currency. Additionally, the central bank must have the capacity to intervene in currency markets when necessary to counteract excessive fluctuations and maintain orderly exchange rate movements. Moreover, Zimbabwe must implement robust safeguards to protect against the pitfalls of past currency experiments and prevent a recurrence of the past hyperinflationary episodes that have plagued the country. This includes enacting stringent regulations to prevent abuse and manipulation of the currency, implementing transparent governance mechanisms to ensure accountability and oversight, and fostering a culture of fiscal discipline and responsible economic management. Additionally, Zimbabwe must learn from the lessons of history and remain vigilant against complacency, continually reassessing its policies and adapting to changing circumstances to safeguard the stability and integrity of ZIG. But these factors are not enough. The successful implementation of Zimbabwe gold hinges on the government's ability to build trust and transparency in its monetary policies, fostering confidence among its citizens and international investors. A pivotal aspect of this effort is the recalibration of interest rates, exemplified by the dramatic reduction from a staggering 130% to a more moderate 20%. This significant adjustment reflects a departure from the high-risk, high-reward approach of the past, signaling a shift towards a more prudent and sustainable monetary strategy. By lowering interest rates, Zimbabwe aims to stimulate investment, spur economic activity, and promote long-term growth. This move makes borrowing more affordable for businesses and individuals and encourages saving and investment, laying the groundwork for a more balanced and resilient economy. Moreover, the reduction in interest rates sends a clear signal to investors that Zimbabwe is committed to creating a conducive environment for business and fostering economic stability. However, the true test lies in the sustained implementation of reforms and the ability of Zimbabwe's economy to withstand external shocks. While lowering interest rates is a critical step towards promoting investment and growth, it must be accompanied by comprehensive structural reforms aimed at addressing underlying issues such as corruption, inefficiency, and lack of infrastructure. Additionally, Zimbabwe must remain vigilant against external threats such as fluctuations in global commodity prices, geopolitical instability, and the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, which could pose significant challenges to its economic stability. How will this help Zimbabwe fight against the Western economic system? By introducing a gold-backed currency, Zimbabwe will reduce its dependency on Western fiat currencies like the US dollar, which have historically been used in international trade and financial transactions. This decreased reliance on external currencies will help shield Zimbabwe from the impacts of currency fluctuations and economic policies imposed by Western powers, allowing for greater autonomy in monetary decision-making. Western economic systems, particularly those of major global powers, often wield significant influence over the value of fiat currencies through mechanisms such as central bank policies and monetary interventions. By anchoring its currency to gold, Zimbabwe can protect itself against potential currency manipulation by Western entities, as the value of gold is determined by global market forces rather than the policies of specific countries. Now, the question is, how will this decision impact Africa? While rooted in domestic economic imperatives, Zimbabwe's decision to adopt a gold-backed currency carries significant implications far beyond its borders. Across the African continent, nations face similar challenges related to currency volatility and inflationary pressures, making Zimbabwe's experiment with ZiG a subject of keen interest and scrutiny. As Zimbabwe charts its course toward economic stability, its experience is a compelling case study in innovative monetary policy, offering valuable insights and lessons for policymakers across the continent. The success or failure of ZiG will undoubtedly shape the discourse on economic governance in Africa, influencing the strategies and approaches adopted by other nations grappling with similar challenges. If Zimbabwe's bold experiment proves successful, it could serve as a beacon of hope for other countries seeking solutions to their economic woes. By demonstrating the feasibility and effectiveness of a gold-backed currency, Zimbabwe could inspire confidence and catalyze economic reforms elsewhere in Africa, spurring a broader shift towards more stable and resilient monetary systems. Beyond its immediate implications for economic governance, Zimbabwe's adoption of ZiG has the potential to impact regional trade and cooperation. A stable and reliable currency could enhance Zimbabwe's credibility as a trading partner, facilitating cross-border commerce and investment. Moreover, by establishing a precedent for sound monetary policy, Zimbabwe could create a more conducive environment for regional integration and economic development, fostering greater collaboration and partnership among African nations. Now, Zimbabwe's decision to launch a gold-backed currency will be viewed as a watershed moment, a bold experiment born out of necessity and tempered by past lessons. As the nation embarks on this journey towards monetary stability, it does so with the hopes of forging a brighter future for its citizens and reclaiming its rightful place as a beacon of resilience in the African continent. Do you think this plan will be a huge success? How would it impact Africa?
Now that Senate sessions today have been shut down as anti-Israeli agitators. They have shut down also the Senate cafeteria just about an hour ago. There have been around 50 arrests that have taken place after incident inside of Durkin Senate office building has taken place. There's video footage starting to circulate around. This has come out just in the past hour. So I'm going to be sharing with you the latest information. This also coming out as we just saw yesterday. Chants of death to America and death to Israel pour out of Muslim protesters in Michigan yesterday on the last day of Ramadan. Now, this has been circulating around social media as well, as they're saying in Detroit, Michigan, lots of chants here on our soil for death to America. Now, in addition to that, as we're hearing that they're wanting this ceasefire, they're wanting things to stop, we're also hearing that Benjamin Netanyahu, the nation of Israel, they are not backing down from what is taking place. And Israel, they have made an announcement that they have set the date that they will be hitting Rafah. Now, Israel still has not told the U.S. the date of the Rafah operation, is what we're hearing as of today, just 1 hour and 30 minutes ago from Anthony Blinken.
It is high time for France to lift its knee off our neck and put an end to this unjust oppression. Centuries of misery, human trafficking, colonization, and neocolonization have caused immeasurable suffering. It's time to put an end to this cycle of oppression. It's high time for France to leave us alone. It's time for France to take a cue from its European neighbors and learn a valuable lesson in independence. Germany is the leading economic power in Europe, significantly surpassing France, which is ranked as the third or fourth largest economic power globally. Germany does not exploit any country, any colony. I can mention Italy, I can mention Spain, who had colonies before, but who do not exploit anyone, who do not interfere, who do not impose leaders in their former colonies. On what grounds does France believe it can continue to impose leaders on us and make choices on our behalf? This must come to an end. And the emerging Africa, the African youth, the African elites, and the African diaspora all stand united in saying no, it cannot continue any longer. France's hypocrisy is evident and pervasive in daily life. Let's examine the cases of Mali and Chad as prime examples of this hypocrisy. In Chad, where the constitutional process has been interrupted, France applauded and its president visited to officially consecrate the new king's coronation ceremony. In Mali, where it is not the constitutional process that has been interrupted, but the transition process, France has condemned and even packed up its things to say that it is leaving Mali. That's hypocrisy. It's the double standard. It is the double language that France employs in its dealings with Africa. During our questioning of Mr. Jean-Yves Le Drian regarding the situation in Ivory Coast and France's decision to allow a third term, he provided a clear explanation. He stated that while he accepted the third term for Ouattara, he refuses it for Belarus. He emphasized that France has condemned the situation in Belarus and has actively encouraged the European Union to do the same. Le Drian explains that in Belarus, millions protested, unlike Ivory Coast, where there were no mass demonstrations on the streets. This is how France deals with African issues. Personally, we expect absolutely nothing from France. We desire her to cease meddling in our matters so that the people of Senegal can exercise their freedom of choice rather than being influenced by France's selection of a candidate using the tactics we are aware of. We begin by targeting individuals, adorning them with the Legion of Honor or a similar knightly rank, enlisting them in Masonic lodges, and informing them to prepare themselves as they will be next in line. Even the hypothesis that Macky Sall may not succeed, we know who is being prepared by France. This must come to an end. It will not occur in this manner any longer. Let's be clear. We have absolutely nothing against the French people. In France, both political and citizen voices are rising to hold and express the same discourse as the one I am currently presenting to you. For example, the deputies, such as Mrs. Frédérique Dumas, who regularly speaks on the platform of the Assembly, who regularly writes to the Minister of Foreign Affairs, since she is a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee, to raise this unfair behavior of France towards Africa, hold the same speech as us. The same Mr. Jean-Luc Mélenchon, Jean-Paul Lecoq, André Chassaigne, all deputies, hold the same discourse as us, and hundreds of other voices. The NGO and yours, like other non-profit organizations, are doing remarkable work in the same direction. We strongly urge France to listen to the voices that speak to it about our plan for a more collaborative, fairer, and sustainable partnership between Africa and France. It is crucial that we work together towards a future that is equitable, just, and environmentally conscious. If she listens, I believe we'll have beautiful days ahead in our collaboration together. If he doesn't know how to cut it, thinking he can continue to function like in the time of our grandfathers, this African youth no longer accepts it. France must make preparations for a definitive break and completely withdraw from Africa. Africa belongs to Africans, not France. No longer accepts it. France must make preparations for a definitive break and completely withdraw from Africa. Africa belongs to Africans, not France. She belongs to no one else. Neither China, nor the United States, nor anyone else.
We're not only interested in extracting resources. We want to partner with you to create local value chains, to create good jobs here in Africa.
Really?
We want to share European technology with you. We want to invest in skills for local workers. This is crucial for the young people. Because the stronger you are as suppliers, the more Europe will diversify supply chains towards Africa, and the more we both will de-risk our economies.
Really?
It's a clear win-win. The benefits of expanding Africa's clean energy sector would be massive. By speeding up the transition to solar and wind power, energy sector jobs in Africa could double in a few years.
Wow.
And Africa could produce enough clean energy not only to power up your continent, but also to export abroad. Climate action can be one of the main drivers of Africa's growth.
Really? Wow.
But for this, Africa needs massive investment. And Europe wants to be your partner. Wants to be your partner in closing this investment gap.
So as Lavandala made this statement during Africa, European Union, climate change, whatever nonsense, Africa should never trust the European Union. These guys are liars. As Lavandala is a liar. This is the same woman who is giving billions of dollars to Israel to kill innocent Palestinians. She can't be trusted. Poverty in Africa is a multi-billion industry which Europeans are benefiting from. If Africa becomes powerful, what happens to UNICEF? What happens to US of Aid? What happens to all these NGOs, whatever corporations in Africa? What happens to them? It is not in the interest of Western Europe and America for Africa to be powerful. Africa should never trust these people. They are lying. As Lavandala is a liar. I follow that woman carefully. That woman is a liar. That woman never speaks the truth. She's always lying around the world. And we must not trust that woman. Africa should be smart. Currently, we are in a multipolar world. We are lucky. Let us take advantage of Russia and China today. You see, when I talk about Russia and China, people misinterpret my words. They claim that I am trying to, you know, move Africa from West and give it to the East. That is not my point. My point is simple. Both Russia and China are vulnerable. They are weak. They are peddling for influence. That is why you see Russia giving Africa $20 billion. That is why you see China building infrastructures for Africa free. Do you know why they are doing that? They are doing that because they are vulnerable, they are weak, they are peddling for influence. And let us not be comfortable with the $20 billion and infrastructures they are building for us. My point is simple. Because they are weak and they are peddling for influence, so we can force them to do a lot of things for us. We can use them to build our economies. We can use them to build our military. We can take advantage of them today. It is absolutely foolish to decouple away from all superpowers at the same time. I wish it will work, but it won't work. If you look at the world financial architecture, economies are intertwined. We need each other. What Africa should focus on is to force the Chinese and Russians build factories in Africa. Let them process our raw materials into finished products. Currently, Uganda is doing it. And I heard Tanzania is also trying to do the same thing. They are forcing the Chinese to build factories in their country. And that is one thing I salute. I salute Museveni for that. I'm not a fan of Museveni, but I salute Museveni for doing that. He's now forcing the Chinese to build factories in Uganda, process the raw materials into finished products before they send it outside. This is my point. People keep misinterpreting my points. Nobody can decouple away from all the superpowers at the same time. It doesn't work that way. Not even Kwame Nkrumah was able to do that. Not Haile Selassie. Not Nyerere. Not, you know, Ahmed Sokoto Touré. You know, look at this guy in DRC, Congo. This guy, what is his name? Patrice Lumumba. You know, Patrice Lumumba tried doing everything on his own. When the Western America came in to kill him, Patrice Lumumba was now running to Russia, begging them to come in and protect him. But it was too late. And let us not repeat the mistakes that our founding fathers did. Let us not repeat the same mistakes some of our founding fathers did. Some of them were wise enough to work with the Russians. And that is why the lives of Kwame Nkrumah survived multiple attacks. Let us work with them today. Western Europe cannot. So I was watching one white boy this morning, and this guy was like, oh, Europeans built a lot of factories for Africa. They built a lot of railway lines for Africa. Please like this video and let it get to Western Europeans and Americans that Western Europe did not build any railway lines for us. They only built these railway lines to extract resources from wherever they were getting the resource from to Habuk. Check in Ghana here, all the railway lines, all the colonial railway lines, it lead to Bokgoso, Pristia, Obuasi. Why didn't they construct railway line from Accra to Bolga, from Accra to Tamale, or from Accra to Emwa? If you go to other African countries, this is what the Europeans did. They only built these railway lines to extract resources. It was not meant for the ordinary citizens to use. For the past 400 years, the Europeans used our human resource. They used us. And used these people, kind of everything. Human resource, our natural resource, they used everything. And all of a sudden, boom, these guys claim they are in to support and help us. And we are down to... Why did these leaders even sit down to give this woman a listening ear in the first place? I'm still confused. Why did these guys even allow this woman in Africa? Knowing the track record of this woman. Let's stop kidding ourselves. Let's stop lying to ourselves. Some claim we can do everything on our own. That is going to take us decades or centuries. And I doubt even if these superpowers out there will even allow us to do that in the first place. Now that Russia and China are weak, let us not exchange our resource for fiat currency. Let us exchange our resource for technology. Africa must develop the habit of using other countries' human resource. The biggest resource taken from Africa is not our natural resource, it's our human resource. And let us also develop the same habit. The Chinese, the Russians, the Americans, they are successful today because they know how to use other countries' human resource. And let us also develop the same habit. Whether we like it or not, this resource we are going to sell them. They need something from us. Equally, we need something from them. You're taking my natural resource. Okay, also give us your technology. And the Chinese are doing that in many countries. Look at the Southeast Asian countries. Look at the South American countries. They are using the Chinese. And we are here talking about decoupling away from everybody. We shouldn't be discussing decoupling away from everybody. No. That shouldn't be our focus. We should think about how to use them, because Africa is 400 years behind. It's 400 years behind. You think you can just wake up and start manufacturing chip, or let me say semiconductors, or you can just wake up and you start producing phones and car overnight? No, it doesn't work that way. There are some technologies we can get from them easily because we have the natural resource and we can use them. Let us develop this habit. You can't decouple away from everybody at the same time. It doesn't work that way. The Russians, the Chinese, when they were weak, they played along with America because they had no option. Today, we are even lucky that other powers are out there today.
I'm just trying to make it, and I'm island boy. I'm gonna keep it like an island boy. Number island boy, I'm just trying to make it, and I'm island boy. I'm gonna keep it like an island boy. Number island boy, I'm just trying to make it, and I'm island boy. I'm gonna keep it like an island boy. Number island boy, I'm just trying to make it, and I'm island boy. I'm gonna keep it like an island boy. Number island boy, I'm just trying to make it, and I'm island boy. I'm gonna keep it like an island boy. Number island boy, I'm just trying to make it, and I'm island boy. I'm gonna keep it like an island boy. Number island boy, I'm just trying to make it, and I'm island boy. I'm gonna keep it like an island boy. Number island boy, I'm just trying to make it, and I'm island boy. I'm gonna keep it like an island boy. Number island boy, I'm just trying to make it, and I'm island boy. I'm gonna keep it like an island boy. Number island boy, I'm just trying to make it, and I'm island boy. I'm gonna keep it is naive, but I still make noise. And I'm shouting, I'm about it with all my voice. I'm a street kid now, but one day I'll be an island boy. I'm just trying to make it. I'm an island boy. Island boy. I'm an island boy.
We'll start it off with, my name is Rick Jones. I'm the Butler County Sheriff, Butler County, Ohio. I just came back from a national sheriff's training in D.C. 2 days ago. We were briefed by the FBI director, Ray, the director of the FBI, and several federal agencies. There's 3,300 sheriffs in the United States. The President of the United States refuses to meet with the sheriffs of the 3,300. We have a hierarchy. We have a president. We have a vice president. The president of the United States refuses to meet with the sheriffs. He also refuses to meet with the police chiefs of the United States. They have a hierarchy also. He refuses to meet with them to talk about border issues or talk about crime that's going on because of the border issue. We were also told by Mr. Ray, the FBI director, that there are more red flags going off now than before 9/11. Okay? When I say red flags, meaning people that are here in this country that are wanting to do harm to us. We were also explained we're bombing two countries right now. Two countries. These people do not like us before this started. There's thousands of people here from other countries, 160 different countries. They're here not to be our friends. Some of them are coming because they're wanting to come here to the best country in the world, the way we see it. Some are coming here to do harm to us. And we were told by the FBI director, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We were also told five sheriffs went to Israel 5 weeks after the attack. The only thing that saved the Israelis, the government, was the local police. They were outgunned, outmanned. They came over. The Palestinians did. They came over. They killed, raped. The sheriffs were there. They talked to the police. The local police are what saved that country. You can't just call, even in Israel, you can't just call the military up and they're going to be there, okay? They went house to house, raping, killing. The Israeli police, when our guys got there, the sheriffs, said they just don't hate us. They hate you guys equally. And the same people that trained them are the same people that train people to hate us. The FBI director said when 9/11 hit, there's more red flags now than then. So, and he said, these are people that want to kill us and do harm to us. Now, so you're wondering, I want everybody to know what I know. I can't tell you everything, but I want the public to know that we are in a terrible way right now. The United States, and I'm going to get to the local, the United States, we're on the defense. You can't be just defense and not have an offense. We have no offense. We're just defense. We're absorbing these attacks. We're in other countries. We're supplying them with weapons. We're supplying them with our treasure, our money, and we're not doing much back home. So, with that in mind, we were also told that they're going, this is from the federal government, 3 days ago, they're going to attack our elections, which they've always done that, just not the national. They're going to go into the locals. They encouraged us to talk to our local election officials and be prepared as much as they can for cyber attacks. Even locally, you have to be prepared. We've been told that, again, they're coming here to do harm to us. And even in Ohio or in the United States, we're not going to be able to call and ask for help from the federal government. They're going to be busy. The military's not coming. The National Guard, when 9/11 hit, it was all the police and the fire. And they were in total, total organized chaos. The military had the skies. And I don't want somebody to ask me, am I like Doomsday Jones? And I said, no, I'm not like Chicken Little. I want you to know what I know. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, that's okay. You can do what the Israeli citizens done. You can build a little safe house in your basement. And good luck.
See, you know, I wasn't going to speak on what he was saying, but I see some kind of loopholes he was talking about. That the crafty council and the devil came out of. Now he gonna say the Pakistan is going out there raping Israel women. What truth is in there and what's facts in there? These people is already getting dead, demolished, almost genocide. And what he talking about? You know, you really got to watch. You really got to watch him. And then he said he wanted to tell us. He telling us everything, but then the slick mouth. He said we can't tell you everything that's going on. Now, if you working for us, how you gonna keep secrets from the public? How you gonna keep secrets from the community? And we paying y'all. See, that's another mindset that you ain't thinking about, y'all. His slick and calf craft accounts, and then talking about, yeah, if you don't want to believe me and all that, I done told you everything. And then again, he talking about he can't tell you everything. And then to top it off, y'all, America can go over here, the Caucasian man and the Caucasian woman can go anywhere in the world and terrorize it. And don't have no empathy about it. But now we seeing the roles change. Now we seeing somebody in that on their heels like the Lone Ranger. Whoa. We see that now. Right? And they wanna talk about the sheriffs and all that. What is the sheriffs and the police gonna do when the people say enough is enough? You ain't got no right. The police ain't got no right on nobody. The sheriff ain't got no right on nobody. And America is sitting on a thread anyway. Only reason why it ain't popped off yet, because the Most High hasn't snapped his finger. But we listen to these crafty counsel and all this little weird stuff that they be talking about under the table talk. Can't give us the straight talk like we grown up, we human beings, we they older than us and they babysitting us. That's how I feel when they not giving us, talking about we can't tell y'all this. We paying y'all. This is the mindset that they got y'all on, y'all. And some of y'all don't even see it. And I told y'all when I started this podcast, right, that we got next, and America gonna fall. In order for us to get next, America got to fall, right? Bible prophecy, right? So we seeing this now. We seeing the, because when I first told y'all that, y'all looking at me all sideways, with this fool talking about. We got the best country in the whole world. We got clout. The whole world want to be a part of us. You see slowly how this narration starts slowing down, right? You see how your vision catching up to what's really coming on, right? You see your IQ is jumping a little notch now, right? And you can see it. And we got to realize this. We got to realize this. I don't know, fam. I hope, you know, black man, black woman, I can only talk to about us right now. Black man and black woman, you know how maybe you don't know, some of us know, how our forefathers lived in the past. And we see the history of our nation trying to rise and live with other people, being all we wanted to do to just live and enjoy our life. We see this. We see the Jim Crows. We see the Willie Lynch. We see the I don't want no black person going to the school with white folk. The segregation. Disrespect. The very disrespect. When they run you off your own property. Kill you and run you off your own property. And then now they set up their livelihood in your property. And the more we try to raise this grass up and try to become a nation, and here they come and mow the grass. We've been through too much, black man and black woman in America. Our forefathers did, and we too. The ones that really, truly care about our nation, that's the one I'm talking to. It's going to be a time that we're going to need each other. It's going to be a time that we're going to have to trust each other. It's going to be a time that we truly going to have to really love each other as brothers and sisters in our nation. We truly got to have to do that. Because we already see right now, fam, that we have to live under the Caucasian man rules and regulations and policies and disrespect and evil and wickedness. And I understand some of the black people don't like to hear this because it make them feel a certain type of way, make you feel uncomfortable. So why would this make you feel uncomfortable? Your ancestors in your spirit making you feel uncomfortable? Something inside of you is waking you up and then waking you up, making you uncomfortable? We gonna have to start depending on each other, y'all. We need to start acting like getting our military together. And we got strong, smart brothers with the military. We need to stop trying to clock per position and fight for our nation. Ain't no man or ain't no woman better and bigger than the other. You might have different IQ skills that one might be stronger in one area than the other, that you could feed us up and we could feed each other up and feed our children up and then our grands and grand and turn this curse around. I know I'm tired, man. I'm tired of being disrespected by other nation. I'm tired of every time you move up 20, crafty council put you down a buck 3. The wickedness, the unfairness, the unjust. You just don't understand, man. That's why America gotta go. And that's why, you know, what's going to happen, going to happen. And y'all need to get yourself together. I know most of y'all ain't locked in yet. And hopefully, you get locked in before you get locked in, got locked out. You want to get locked in before you get locked out, man. And I be telling the people that, you know, means a lot to me, sending them information, trying to make them alert on what's going on. Of course, you might think it weird and strange, and some of the things that come across ain't really hit you like it's supposed to. But my job and my thing is just to alert you. As long as I alert you, it'll come back in your spirit if it's true enough, if you real enough, if you about this enough. Because the Most High said that Babylon, spiritual Babylon, will fall. America will fall. I ain't say it. The Most High said it. And if you got a problem with that, then you go on his door and have that conversation. Because I don't have those answers to those questions. So don't be looking at me all sideways and getting mad at me because of things that I say that you really, really need to think about and stop compromising yourself, because it's all about yourself and ain't about the nation. Because if it was about our nation and we was all about our nation, not nobody else's nation, trying to build somebody up, and they don't care about us. The Most High made the earth for our sake, y'all. We the true children of God. Why we won't start positioning ourselves as true children of God? Why is that? But we rather go out here and get it, boy, and get it, girl. And this is what I don't understand, black man and black woman. When we gonna stop letting somebody drive for us? When we gonna get behind the wheel as a nation and drive for us? We the smartest thing in this world. Only reason why we're in this position, because our forefathers put us in this position. It's not like we're not intellectual or knowledgeable or we can't do it. I know our forefathers' nose got wide. Now the Most High had to punch him in the nose. Now we're breathing out the mouth. Getting killed and murdered and slaughtered in America. No, and then get no justice for the slaughter. But what's the statutory for murder? What is the statutory for murder? It's none. I don't give a damn if the judge said you guilty, innocent, or anybody said you innocent, or you get away with it. You're not going to get away with it. You're not going to get away with it. Because if the Most High said thou shalt not kill, he had a reason for saying thou shalt not kill. The only people who is teaching us how to kill and making it none is the non-pigmentation man and the non-pigmentation woman, because they got the TV shows. They got all the clout to put that out there in TV world. All this murdering, killing. That's all you see. You think it's regular. You so numb to it, you think it's just like everyday life, like it's normal, but it's not.
We should have got 40 acres and a mule when they freed us.
We ain't never been free.
Oh man, that's
free. What free to do? What
that's
free to go get a white man's job? and go watch some football and watch some basketball and buy a little old Jerry free for you to do what? You don't make no law. You don't manufacture nothing. You don't produce nothing. So where's your freedom at? And if the Negro don't have that white boy, he in trouble. He don't know how to eat. He don't know how to eat. The only way he don't know how to eat, he got to go fill out an application. He got to go get that job. He got to stay on that job and do what the master said to do.
So giving us 40 acres would have been giving us too much power back then.
They ain't going to give you shit. Why? Weird. They ain't gave you nothing in all these years. They give an immigrant or a refugee more than they get slave descent. Now, they might give you something because you got a Nigeria. You considered an immigrant. I go up there and ask them something. Well, yeah, I'll give you shit. You got to still take what you want. Fuck you. Excuse me, ma'am. I'm sorry.
No, please.
Student goes on a racist rant about Beyonce's country music. Here it is.
I'm sorry, but if you're black, you're not country. I don't care. And I wish I meant that in the nicest way. But like, babe, I know you were raised in the country, or your grandparents were, I guess, your great-granny and grandpa's, but they was picking, okay? They wasn't planting.
Let's put up the picture full mask. Now, I don't condone racist people, but if you just have to be racist, be a racist like this one. At least we know she is, in fact, racist. Clearly racist. You see this racist coming. Student goes on a racist rant about Beyonce's.
See, I'm just so sick and tired. I'm so sick and tired, yo. I'm gonna let you listen to something this about another black brother that white non-pigmentation man and non-pigmentation woman don't respect. Caucasian man and Caucasian woman need to keep their hands off of. That's why, this is why I always shoot for our nation. That's why, that's why, that's why. And I'm always roll with Judah. I'm shooting for my nation, man. We got the best nation out here in the whole world. The Most High set us on high, Judah. And we should be, and we should be proud of it, and we should be looking out for our brothers and sisters. The one who can do it should do it, and the ones that need help, help. But hey, let's analyze.
Stop. Hey, hold on, Jerry. Let's put the table here on. Get up.
Got him. They just pushed him. They got him handcuffed in the back.
What? Sit down.
I need water.
You just got some.
That isn't enough.
They got him handcuffed, y'all, from the back.
Stop. Can I go over here? Can I go over
here? Over here.
Don't hug him. Kenneth, stop.
Stop.
He telling them he can't breathe.
Just a new goal. Kenneth, stop.
No. Lift him over.
Lay over.
See, this is why I say this. We allow these people to do our nation like that. The people don't even care about us, don't respect us. Had the man in handcuffs trying to force me in the bed, and in the bed in the handcuffs. And how, if you got my hands behind the back of my handcuff behind me, and you talking about let her hands go, and how I'm going to have her hands, and what can I do if I got her hands and you got me on the bed, my flat down, my nose and my stomach flat down, and I'm telling you I need something to drink, and I can't breathe, and you can't continue, you know, you still got me in that same position. See, this is what they do, y'all. This is how they be killing us. We need to stop going to these white folks' hospitals. We got strong, intelligent black nurses and doctors out here we should be running to. But they ain't got the mindset. Y'all Negroes be getting on my nerves. All these Negroes got these high position jobs that the Most High gave you mindset to be doctors, lawyers, plumbers, and all this other stuff the Most High gave y'all the gifts to, and all y'all do is give it to the wrong people and work for the wrong people and ain't thinking about your own nation. Man, I tell y'all the truth. Some of this stuff just sickened me. George Floyd, the same thing. Now we gonna hear about this. Southwest Medical Center. In Texas. A new body footage showed Texas man Kenneth Notch, saying Kenneth, K-E-N-N-E-T-H, not K-N-O-T-T-S, saying I can't breathe in a hospital. And that's the footage in Texas at the Southwest Medical Center. Now I want y'all to go see something about that. You got police got him handcuffed. They in the hospital with the man handcuffed, and he ain't even get professional help. Somebody do something about that. Lawyers, doctors, whoever know the game. That's why I can't wait till the Most High come to destroy all this bull. I don't care if I go with it and I'll be the one that die with the rest of them. At least this bull crap be gone. Because most of y'all in our nation sicken me anyway. Y'all sicken me. And that's why I tell you, Africa, don't get mad at me because I be talking to you. You ought to get mad at me how I feel about my nation. And with some of them. I'm going to say 50% of them. Because 50% of them got the mindset of y'all, Africa. The IQ are less than -2. At least y'all won. They -2. And we keep on allowing this same thing to happen all the time. What gonna have to happen? What needs to be said for us to start uniting it for our nation to stop these people from destroying our whole nationhood? They have been doing it for so long. What we can do? All these dudes and all these females got all that good talk, talking about respiration. We don't want no money. We don't want, why would I want money? That money don't mean nothing. So why, see, that's when they talking about money, I know their IQ is zero. I don't need no money, I need minerals. I need minerals to start my own nation. That's what I need. These dudes sitting out here, we give them $100 billion. Nigga, who want that? I want minerals. But we don't have the mindset like that. In Africa, one thing I can say about y'all, what y'all is better than us is, at least most of y'all have self-dignity. Most of us over here in America, black especially, I'm talking about Nation Judah. Oh no. Oh, hell no. We allow all these people to do this, and we got the smartest people in our nation. We got the intelligent people in our nation. We got the craftiness, the slick, the healthy, the wealthy, the athletic, and all that above in our nation. And we rather get pimped out by another nation, because our whole situation is like Africa anyway, because we can't really talk about Africa no way. Our resources is our skills, and they taking all our skills and our resources and making a profit out of it, and they taking all the resources out of Africa and taking the profit. So what's the difference between that scenario? I don't know, bro. I guess that's that hillbilly rage, huh? That's what y'all scared of. The hillbilly rage.
Song of Innsbruck, do nothing but raise my hand. Before I'm about to clear the land, so take a return again. For the things that I saw, them chariots is coming. Prophecy you can't ignore. Messiah coming back. You don't want him, Lord. Your salvation draw near. Look up, that's the update. Only the Father know when he coming. He got the update. So shall the Son of Man be lifted up. That's the update. The 12 tribes rise around the world. That's the update. California on fire. Greece on fire. Y'all, we at the end of time. Earthquakes every hour. On his power, y'all, this place gon' get devoured. The sheep waiting on they seven. He gon' get us together. God, that day gon' be so special. They repenting the next. Stop that sinning, boy, he catch it. His protection is a blessing. Song of Israel can do nothing but raise my hand. Before I'm about to clear the land, so Jacob return again. By the way, we found the Ark of the Covenant. We ain't playing. We know we at war. Ain't no explanation for the things that I saw. Them chariots is coming, prophecy you can't ignore. Messiah coming back, you don't want him, Lord. Your salvation draw near, look up, that's the update. Only the Father know when he coming, he got the update. So shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that's the update. The 12 tribes rise around the world, that's the update. California on fire, Greece on fire. Y'all, we at the end of time, earthquakes every hour.
Hey fam, what's up? This is FaZe. I want to thank all y'all for coming in and listening to me. I know you didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway. And thank you. You can reach me at FaZe380, or you can come and join me at anchor.fm/phase5. That's where you can join my little rendezvous in the thought or process as we ride down the road to the world of destruction. Come in and join me. If you got a comment, you can post it at the bottom. You got a voice that you want to be heard, just send it to my Instagram, Phase380. Everybody do their part, and the world can be a better place. I ain't here for no drama. I ain't here for no problems. I ain't here for no static. I'm here to learn. I'm here to learn. And I'm here to learn.